Welcome to the Adamantium Podcast, episode number 194. Welcome back, Adamantomaniacs. I am your host, Adam R. Harrison, and I'm finally free of that pesky cold that followed me home from Argentina, so my voice sounds a little bit better today. Thank you for joining me. We've got a very exciting episode today, but before we get into that, I want to know who tuned in to the Academy Awards on Sunday night. It's a bit of a tradition in our house to watch the Oscars, fill out the ballot and see who gets the most right. And I always like to give my two cents, not that anybody really cares, but I'm going to do it anyways. So of the 10 Best Picture nominees, so far I've seen 6 of the 10. I've seen The Holdovers, I've seen Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Maestro, and Killers of the Flower Moon, and I haven't seen American Fiction, The Zone of Interest, Past Lives, and Anatomy of a Fall. Not yet anyways. So of those movies, I actually think my favorite movie was Poor Things, and then maybe Barbie, just because it was a lot of fun. And this is definitely going to be an unpopular opinion, but I wasn't a fan of Oppenheimer, which, as you probably now know, won Best Picture of the Year. And that's coming from someone who loves Christopher Nolan films. He's been nominated, I think they said, 8 times. The Dark Knight is one of my all-time favorite movies. And personally, I think Oppenheimer was one of his least good movies. So I'm so glad he won, and I'm super glad Cillian Murphy won an Oscar, and Robert Downey Jr. I just wish that they had won for something else. It's kind of like how Leo DiCaprio couldn't win Best Actor for years and years, despite all the fantastic performances he gave, and then finally won for The Revenant, which was a great movie, so it's a little bit different because I did enjoy that one. But it definitely wasn't his best performance, and that's what he won for. And so in my opinion, it's kind of like that with Christopher Nolan. I don't think it was his best film, but anyways, apparently most people disagree with me. I was very pleased to see Emma Stone take home Best Actress for Poor Things because she was absolutely phenomenal in that movie. That's like performance of a lifetime. And I think giving it to anyone else would have been robbery, as good as Lily Gladstone was in Killers of Flower Moon. Which actually was another movie that I love Scorsese, absolutely love Scorsese, multiple of my favorite movies, Gangs of New York, The Departed, was not a huge fan of Flowers of the Killer Moon. It was all right, but maybe it's just the length. Maybe if I had watched it in parts, I would have enjoyed it more. But again, that's another one. And I kind of have to say the same, too, about Best Animated Feature. The Boy and the Heron, love to see Studio Ghibli win Oscars. I'm a huge, huge fan. I went to the museum when I was in Tokyo, especially, of course, the Miyazaki films. I'm a huge fan of Spirited Away, that won the very first animated award. But again, I think Boy and the Heron is maybe my least favorite Miyazaki film. Maybe there was a bit of favoritism because they say it's Miyazaki's last film. But to be honest, I really think Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse got robbed in that category. That movie is breaking barriers in multiple areas. On the visual side, I've never seen anything like it, even from the first movie to this one. Unbelievable. The storytelling is fantastic. I think it was one of my favorite movies of the entire year, let alone just animated movie. I actually did make a top 10 list last year of my favorite movies, and Spider-Verse was number 2. My top movie last year was actually John Wick Chapter 4, and that's definitely personal preference because I love the series. It wasn't my favorite John Wick movie, but it was my favorite movie, I think, last year. Spider-Verse was number 2. Number 3 was one, I think, that really got snubbed at the Oscars, and that was a movie called Saltburn. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's weird, but fantastic. I think it's on Amazon Prime now. 4 was Barbie, and 5 was Poor Things. And so that's my top 5 anyways. But I think unanimously, we must all agree that the highlight of the Oscars was Ryan Gosling's performance of I'm Just Ken, which kind of just got better as it went, to the point where Slash and Wolfgang Van Halen were a part of it. And as much as I like Billie Eilish, you got robbed, Ryan. You got robbed. Still waiting for that award. So I hope those of you who watched enjoyed the Academy Awards. It was nice that it wasn't as long and it started earlier this year. I definitely like that format better. But right now it's time to move on to more important matters, and that's to hear from the amazing guests that we have on today's podcast. We're joined for the second time on the Adamantium Podcast by Brian O'Bear and Nikki Moninger of the incredible band Silver Sun Pickups. It was truly a privilege to have them both back on the podcast. And this one is maybe my favorite interview this year so far because we hit it off right away. We found some really great common ground. In fact, the conversation started over Studio Ghibli films, and it just took off from there. And I had met Brian and Nikki once before, and it was great, but it was actually on a media day that they were doing here in Toronto back in 2019. And the timing, I remember, was pretty strict. I had like 20 minutes, which is like my minimum that I ask for, and like that was it was a hard 20 minutes. So I faintly remember the feeling that as I was getting the ball rolling, especially in just meeting them for the first time, that we had to start shutting it down. Whereas this time we were at the venue hours before the show that they were doing here in Toronto at History, and we were just chilling backstage. We had kind of as much time as we wanted. I think we did close to an hour, and it was really chill. It just felt like a hang, which is, you know, like I always say, the best type of podcast. I remember Brian even, like, you know, getting comfortable on the floor at one point. So I am very grateful to Brian and Nikki for taking the time to have this conversation. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you do too. So since our last interview with Silver Sun Pickups in 2019, they've released another album in 2022. It's called Physical Thrills. They've also released a couple new singles for the Lincoln Lawyer TV series on Netflix. So be sure to check those out wherever you get your music. And if you're new to Silver Sun Pickups, we're going to do the Adamantium Recommend segment, which, I mean, we really do because I like doing it. And it's my podcast. But if you're new to the band, then it's five songs that I pick out that are five of my favorites that you could check out before or after the interview. And this one was actually really tough because other than like one or two songs, there's a lot of songs that I like kind of on the same level, if that makes sense. So I kind of just thought I would kind of pick one from spreading across their discography a little bit to give you samples from across their kind of 20-year career. And I usually like to start this with something new, so I picked something off of Physical Thrills, and that was the lead single, which is called Scared Together. And then going back to that 2019 album, Willow's Weeds, I'm going to pick out the song It Doesn't Matter Why. And then swinging back to their 2012 album, Neck of the Woods, I'm going to pick the song Mean Spirits. And then from their 2009 album, Swoon, this is my absolute favorite Silver Sun pickup song. It's called Panic Switch. And then from 2006, their debut album, it's called Carnivas. It turns 20 years old soon. I'm going to pick the song that kind of started it all for Silver Sun Pickups, and that is called Lazy Eye. And that's it. So if you need some recommendations, there you go. You can also find a selection of all these recommendations across all our episodes on the Adamantium Recommends playlist, which is on Apple Music. So if you're a subscriber, you can check that out. You can also subscribe to the Adamantium podcast if you don't already. If you're tuning into the podcast for the first time today, first of all, welcome. I hope you enjoy the episode. And you can hit that subscribe button on whichever podcast network you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow the Adamantium on social media. We are on Instagram at the Adamantium, on Facebook at the Adamantium podcast, and on X at Adam R. Harrison. But you can find us just by searching the Adamantium podcast. And I think that's it for today. This was a long intro, so we should get into the interview. So here we go. This is episode 194, featuring Brian Aubert and Nikki Monninger of Silver Sun Pickups. Enjoy the episode, and thank you for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week. God bless you, and you'll hear from us again real soon. Have you seen the new one yet?
Yeah, I loved it.
Boy and the
Heron? No, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
So, yeah, it's... No. I'm just going to shut
really
that door.
Intense.
It is intense.
Yeah.
It's a little
It's not too intense, though. Does Canadian box office, do they count that? Like, North America, like when they do the U.S. box office, is it sort of Canada?
Is Canada
I think the releases are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because... At one point, the reason why I'm saying that is in, at least in America, and I'm assuming it's sort of North America, maybe, yeah. Except Mexico, maybe. One weekend was the number one movie was The Boy and the Heron.
Really?
The number two movie was Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
Japanese, yeah.
I was just like, this is incredible for culture.
It is.
And I'm like, maybe superheroes have gotten people so sick that normal people are like, you know what?
Let's see a real
I want to see some real stuff.
Yeah.
Because I took. a bunch of people to see Boy and the Heron, like mm-hmm. my kid who's eight.
Yeah.
His friends.
And was he able to appreciate it?
So he loved it.
Okay.
But what was interesting, what I loved is when we went to took them to the restroom, him and his friend Grayson, who's also eight, were sitting at the urinal and they were talking, and it was the first movie discussion I've ever heard my son have. He goes, well, I didn't get this and that and that. Yeah. And he goes, well, I think what it meant was this and that. And they were having a little kid movie discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought Nico didn't like it. And then he goes, it was amazing.
Yeah. It's Ghibli films are one, like, because I didn't discover them till later.
Yeah, same.
And Mononoke was my first. Okay. Mm-hmm. I went to Japan in 2019 and I'd seen a couple and then I binged them all before I went.
Did you go to the museum?
Yeah.
But the land wasn't open yet.
It's a
6 month wait.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that's amazing. The museum already was.
I know. I can imagine.
Yeah. But Kiki's was one of my early favorites. But I always wonder if I had seen them as a kid, if I would have been able to appreciate
them. I think so.
Yeah?
Why not? I mean, you just sort of I feel like I grew up in anime was like coming through with like Robotech and Voltron. Like there's some things that were coming through and you just smooth over some things in your mind. Like you're taken up by
there's
the magic.
There's certain things that when you watch them again.
Now you intellectualize it too much. Like how weird that is. But as a kid, you don't. Like I watched Pippi Longstocking, the Swedish version.
Yeah.
And it was dubbed and I loved it. I didn't care.
Right. We had a show and it was claymation. We had a show here in Canada called Pingu.
Oh, cool.
Which,
like Gumby kind of?
Kind of. He was a little penguin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he spoke like a weird language and I always thought it was something like Inuit or something like that. And I found out later it's French backwards.
Whoa!
So nobody understands it because it's just backwards
cool.
French.
That's
awesome.
That is so cool.
But the other one for me, the other Dark Horse Ghibli film for me is The Secret Life of Arrietty.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's great.
Yeah.
Arrietty.
That's
I mean, Spirited Away is unbelievable.
That's not a Miyazaki one, though. That's a Ghibli run, right?
You're right. Arrietty, you might be right.
Yeah, I mean, Studio Ghibli has amazing stuff besides Miyazaki.
But
that's a good one.
They are the best ones.
Yeah.
There's a great documentary that just shows him in like every day just in going to a studio. Yeah.
Fascinating.
The girls love
it. You've seen it?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Okay. And it's a documentary?
About Miyazaki.
On Netflix or?
He's a grumpy guy.
But I don't know what it was on. I watched a couple years ago, but watching him like open the shades in the morning, everything.
Grumpy's not the word. He's like, he's so funny.
He's just kind of set in his way.
It's like that Jiro made. That you ever see that Jiro made sushi? What is it called? The guy in Japan who in the subway station that has that 5-star. Thing like Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about it's the same stuff, and it's like not the best dad, you know.
Well, a lot of times, like those like artistic geniuses, you know, it's like they're so focused in that.
Like I think
there's a documentary I really want to see on that just came out on Hideo Kojima.
Oh my god! I have it ready to go. I listened to a podcast about it.
Okay, yeah.
There's a podcast by these comedians that's really great called called Get Played.
Yeah.
It's about video games and stuff like that. In like a great way. Not like a full on gatekeeping gamer kind of type.
Right.
But just like people who know enough and like love games.
Yeah.
I did a whole episode on that.
Yeah. And his art too. His art style. His style is unbelievable.
A trippy horny dude.
Yes. I did an interview with the guys and gals from Churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a song
On Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
I remember.
So I was talking with them and
amazing.
About it. Yeah.
He also used this one band I never even heard of, but in it a lot.
Okay.
And I cannot remember the name of it, but it's in Death Stranding all over the place.
Okay. There's another band too he uses he's using Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
They did an amazing Star Sailor or something like
that.
Oh
yeah, I remember
that. They did an amazing song for what I think is his best game, which was the Snake Eater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Death Stranding was wild.
It's one of those games I'm like,
I did it.
I'm not sure if I liked
it
or not.
I loved it by the end.
But it was an experience.
By the end I did.
Yeah.
By the end I was like, in it.
Yeah.
And
there was times I was overwhelmed.
Yes.
Anxiety.
Oh, I was like, I really don't
want to. And then there was times
I don't want to meet these I don't want to go to the beach. I don't want to get those guys. Those guys are really hard.
Yeah. And then there was parts where I was just very frustrated. Like, mm-hmm. there was a time where I had to carry, like, 1,000 pounds of stuff over a mountain.
Oh, my God. Like, it was so wild.
Have you seen the, like, 10-minute trailer for the sequel?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm really happy that there's a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really thought that was a one and done thing.
Yeah, me too.
I played that game after one of my favorite narrative experiences of my life, which is a game called Last of Us Part 2.
Yes.
And
me too.
And I was so shaken and just like, it took me forever to get that out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much. And Last of Us, all of it. And then Death Stranding was kind of the perfect thing to do because it had a certain level of that, but it was so unique and so strange that it was, because any other game I would have been like, I can't do this. But
right.
Death Stranding was so peculiar that it was nice to get into.
Yeah.
And Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding were so pandemic Last of games. Us.
Yeah. They both were.
Yes.
Last of Us
Nikki, what do you think?
I don't play video games.
Have you seen Last of Us, the show?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's the same thing. My wife's not a gamer.
Same.
And she watched Last of Us and she's like, this is a video game?
Yep.
And I was like, almost frame for frame.
I was like,
they stayed so true to the game story.
I will say, when it's hard, when you're such a fan of something, like I think the narrative of Last of Us is the best, one of the best exposition, character over story. Like the world is just there to exist with these characters and like all the way it is. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
Now, video games, if you're not aware of how many different genres and how it all works, it's a hard stop for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So like describing this to my wife and things like that is hard. So it was such a thrill to be able to experience The Last of Us in a new way, even in a better way for TV, and have the people around me hit the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have them now know what I'm talking about.
It was,
and when they see Last of Us 2, they're gonna be pissed.
Oh, I know.
They are in for it. They have no idea what's coming.
My wife has no idea.
No, I'm like, Tracy, don't look it up. Yeah. Don't look it up.
Nothing's been spoiled.
No.
And when I'm does like, come out?
Is it don't. Next year.
And I'm like, it is going to blow your mind.
It is going to make some people that hate things.
Yes.
Like they did in Last of Us 2 when it came out.
Yeah.
It's going to make the right people mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I'm narratively, so it is perfection.
I was so frustrated from the strike that it got pushed.
Oh, like, I know. But you know what? It's okay because, like, she's aged up. Like, it all kind of ages up. And then they kind of go throughout the year.
Yeah.
But the woman that they cast for Abby is amazing.
Yeah. People originally wanted her.
That's amazing.
As the lead, Ellie.
I know what you mean, but
anyway.
Anyways. This is all going in the podcast.
Right? You know, I started it because it was getting interesting.
Yeah, so
so I was going to say, we have been rolling.
Good,
so.
You got to keep it.
Of course it will. I mean, it's sometimes nice. You know, it's always fun to talk about, whatever. But it's nice to find things that are other things that everybody's interested in, too. So,
yeah. Speaking of other things, like, I can't, still to this day, after all these years, you know, the first time I came to Toronto, I was 13 with my family, and still, like, when I see the words Ontario, Toronto, I can't shake "you can't do that on television" out of my head, because when I was a kid, that was the most magical punk rock show I ever saw.
Which one?
Like, you called "You Can't Do That on Television."
You can't do that on
television. I think Alanis Morissette started from that and all this stuff. And it was like, it always say at the end, like, Ontario, Canada, you know, Toronto. And to me, it's just like, whoa, I want to go there and I want to get slimed.
I've got something to ask you about Silver Sun Pickups in Toronto. The first time I ever saw you guys was at a festival on the Toronto Island.
The guy tried to kill Liam Gallagher.
Noel Gallagher.
Yeah. And then he chased Liam. He was going after Liam.
Yeah, Liam took a swing at him, too.
He had been waiting under the stage all day.
That's what I heard, right? So he'd been waiting under the stage for, like, several hours.
We were all in shock.
Yeah.
Because there was so
much. What were you backstage at the time, or did you leave?
No.
You guys were still there when it happened.
Where were you? Did you see it?
Were we on the side stage?
No, like, I wasn't. Maybe you were.
I remember.
It must have been chaos up there.
I was somewhere else talking to someone. I can't remember.
It seemed like almost in slow motion. Like, choreographer.
Well, there was so much security for that thing. It was a shock that it happened, but I think he was hiding.
I heard he'd been under there for hours.
He must have been.
And then, like, did he wait for a specific song, too? Like,
Because it wasn't at the beginning.
I don't know,
set,
man. Noel could have taken a big dive. You know
what's that?
He could have.
Oh yeah, he could have cracked a rib. I heard
he could have really hurt himself.
Yeah.
And again, the guy was running towards Liam.
And Liam, then the, I see the, Liam took then swing at him.
And security just got him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear what happened to that guy? I'm sure no, he got... I mean, I'm sure he got...
Honestly, I hope he gets
sure
help.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah, I hope he gets help.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
I think that's... I think something's troubled, you know?
Yeah.
You don't do that. That's the thing.
That's not a waste... If you're waiting another for hours, that's not a wasted, stupid
listen,
we, decision.
We've got to play...
That's a thought yeah. out, yeah.
We've played a lot of shows now.
Yeah.
And been in a lot of scenarios, and that's not one that pops up. So, yeah. So to be able to do that, there has to be some sort of level of focus that's... This person needs help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That was calculated.
He got taken down.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got hurt.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because those are old school. They have some.
Those are two guys you don't really want to mess with.
Yeah, but like, but you don't want to mess with their security.
No. That
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Although I met Liam once.
Yeah.
Just as a, not, nothing to do with this. And when I was, same thing. I was just out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing an interview on George Strombolopoulos.
Wow.
And I was in between jobs at the time, and you used to be able to apply for free tickets just day yeah. up or whatever.
Yeah.
And I went down, and there was an interview after his, and he was kind of just standing at the side.
Mm.
And I was like, well, I'm probably never going to get this chance again. And I went over and talked to him. He's like, sweetheart.
Yeah, he'll talk to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was.
We met Noel too, and he was just at a club at this band that we knew called... they're not around anymore, and I can't remember their name. Duke Spirit.
Oh.
And Noel was there and a couple people at this little club in LA, and he was totally nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do an interview with Noel because his interviews are like, like they're a hoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's had a good sense of humor.
I think he also knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
He stokes the fire a little bit.
Yeah. For
I
sure.
saw another documentary about an Oasis. They had like a several day festival in England years back, but I was like, they work really hard. Like they don't come across like that.
No, they
like,
are. Yeah,
oh, I had so much more respect for them.
Yeah, like, hell of songwriters
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for them too. Yeah. Now, yeah, you know, like I wasn't that into them back then, but as time's gone on, I can really appreciate.
My parents are Irish.
Oh,
and whenever we would go back home, as they would say. Like Oasis was like everything
yeah.
there. Everything.
Yeah,
you couldn't
sure.
not
For years.
Like you couldn't yeah. not like Oasis.
Not U2, like, not The Frames.
Well yeah, U2 is my all time favorite yeah. band.
The Frames. You know
I don't know
that's
the
Irish
actually.
Band. Yeah.
Irish band. Okay. My mom's from this really small town which has produced like a crazy amount of talent for a small town.
Yeah.
Snow Patrol is from
there. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Two Door Cinema Club.
Oh yeah, they played last night.
Two Doors were just here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually here. Yeah.
That's oh, cool.
Venue.
Yeah, we're swimming in the same circles right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this songwriter called Foy Vance.
Oh,
also
cool. Oh yeah.
Also
what
from
a nice
my mom also from my mom's town. I, like it's crazy how much talent has come from.
Because isn't Gary from Belfast or is he
Yeah, he's no, from he's Bangor.
Bangor, yeah,
the
yeah.
town. And that's
where Ian Archer's from too.
Yeah.
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 I would love to hang out in Belfast.
Have you ever been?
No, we've driven through it. I've never been to Northern Ireland really, but we have friends.
Yeah,
our
beautiful.
Friend Sarah, like.
If you're a Game of Thrones fan too, it's now
I
like
am.
A necessity.
I,
yeah.
Of course, I am.
Yeah, now no, that's a.
I am a Game of Thrones fan.
I was super lucky to one time be visiting right after the last season.
No
finished,
way.
And they had a pop up museum.
They built
by the Titanic quarters where they had like everything.
I've
like
never been to the Titanic quarters either.
It was in the Titanic quarters, yeah. And they had everything from like all like and not I find sometimes when you go to like a movie museum or
yeah.
something, they're like
stupid,
here's
yeah.
this costume that so and so wore in episode
right.
4 season
yeah.
8. I don't remember that.
No.
But it was like all the main props that you could think of. And then just outside, they still had the King's Landing
okay,
set,
oh, cool.
set up because it's like where they burnt it down.
They built
and,
it because
yeah,
they couldn't blow up that town.
No,
so it
was still there, so you could still see it, and it was cool.
The documentary about Game of Thrones is really incredible. The final season or the last
yeah.
show because it focused on the whole community of Belfast and all the people that worked
mm-hmm.
and the community underneath all that was sort of part of it, like involved in it, like the coffee cart person, the
yeah,
sandwich
yeah.
maker, like
mm-hmm.
the whole universe that was being
yeah,
built around it. And
nice.
It was really touching.
Yeah.
You know?
And everyone
and they knew each
extras.
Other. Like, all the yeah. actors knew all yeah. the people who were, like, mm-hmm. serving coffee and outside of the yeah. car.
And
like,
they everybody... all got to be in that last season.
Did Snow Patrol like, as extras. Get to be in that? I thought they were.
Gary yeah, was in it.
Gary, I think, yeah. was it. But there's tons of people I've looked who, like, Ed Sheeran actually even had a line. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the... Yeah.
I was thrown off by him, though, because yeah, his hair... Everybody was. He had, like, Ed Sheeran hair. Yes, and yeah. I'm like,
And then...
Coldplay, Sigur Rós.
Was yeah, that? There was even like one of the guys from Always Sunny was in an episode as like nobody of notice, but they just all just want to be in it.
Yeah, it was
like,
amazing.
It was a very kind of welcoming set, and they needed so many extras.
Yeah. That's cool. Cast, yeah, love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I wish I had kind of been there.
Yeah, no, well,
but it's funny.
Time travel.
My aunt's one of these people who kind of just knows everybody about town.
Yeah,
and she one day I was over there and she came. So this is right at the start. She came back and she's like, "Oh, you know, I was with so-and-so and they took us on, they asked if we wanted to go on a tour of this set of this new show that's starting with Sean Bean."
Wow.
She's like, "It's called Game of Thrones." I was like, "Eh, I never heard
yeah.
of it." And it turns out, yeah, she got a tour of Winterfell before it was Winterfell.
Wow.
That's
so amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Ugh.
So, should we talk a little bit about...
If you want to.
Yeah, should we talk a little bit about music too? So,
whatever you want, man.
Yeah, these are always... it's nice when you guys... This is always kind of the best.
Yeah, that's what
when
I
you
feel.
Find common conversation, other yeah. stuff that you can Same. Talk about too. But let's talk about the music a little bit too.
Okay.
Last album was in 2022, Physical mm-hmm. Thrills. What I thought was cool is second album now you guys got to work with Butch Vig.
Yes.
Yeah, and we last time... We had kind of a shortened interview last time
yeah.
we spoke. I think it was around a media day or whatever.
Oh my God.
And we talked about working with Butch Vig, but tell me now, like, it being the second time around with him, what was that like? You know, now that you guys all know each other,
mm-hmm.
was it kind of, did it make it easier to say experiment or
yeah.
like,
yeah, 1,000%.
Tell me what that was, that experience.
Butch
was
is
like.
Our close friend now.
Okay.
We're like basically family friends now. The
guy's like a legend.
We're intimate. Yeah. Yes. But he is. But then he's your friend.
Yeah.
He's just Butch. And his wife and his daughter. And we're just like, love them. And we're close with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just texted Butch right now just to like tell him about the DJ thing we're doing with Hail Mary. And he's like, yeah, man. he is fast. And I'm fast.
Okay.
And we were pretty quick on that other record. But this time, as soon as we got vaccinated... Mm-hmm. And he felt safe for me.
That was the thing at the time.
As soon as he felt safe for me to come over, and the band wasn't vaccinated yet, but I was.
Isn't it a weird thing to talk about now?
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like
yeah.
it's our scar that we're gonna wear.
Yeah,
it's the thing that we're gonna once in a while just go whoa, and then yeah. and have.
It's gonna be a weird thing to
explain
it's gonna
be
to
hard,
the next generation.
It's gonna be hard for us to. I think our trauma now is going to be just
mm-hmm.
dealing with how people dealt with it and
mm-hmm.
and your disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when things push comes to shove, it becomes very individualized.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. But anyway, as soon as he felt safe, and I said, I got all these songs in my head. I don't know what for.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been working on them, just little things that come to me.
So
and
you weren't sure necessarily if it was going to be an album yet?
I didn't know. What? I honestly just wasn't thinking about anything.
Okay.
I just knew that I had songs.
Okay.
And then, you know, so, and then there's, I was like, well, maybe this will be Silver Sun, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I think I have a couple. And I was like, are you down to like not go, not wait for us to demo or do anything? Honestly, this is probably how we're going to be doing things from now on.
Mm.
What if we just, what if I just go to your house and I play you stuff and then we just start demoing right then and there?
Yeah.
And as soon as the band gets vaccinated, they can all start creeping in, and then we can just start working on stuff.
Yeah,
he's so into that. He's okay. ready, you know.
Yeah.
And so I came in and just started laying stuff down, and it just I didn't really realize it, but there was just so much music in there. I didn't mm-hmm. know it was just pouring.
Okay,
I was like, oh, that's another song. Oh, there's this one too, and we just. Realize it was like, well, there's like we have a record pretty much,
yeah,
more than that. Like, it just didn't occur to me because time didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, oh, let's also do this one, and then it was just like, oh my god. So, all of a sudden, they showed up and we're making a record already.
Wow.
Just started.
So, this one really just came like,
yo,
it just,
yo.
yeah,
Yes.
So do you just, does mm-hmm. Butch have a, like, is it at his home? Does he have a home studio?
Recording studio.
Yeah, you can do, we've always been a band that sort of recorded in houses and things. Okay. Unless you don't need to.
Right.
Okay. I mean, unless you can't do it. Like, mm-hmm. we've used studios for things like drums.
Yeah.
You know, like big studios and strings. And then Shirley's husband, Billy Bush, who's Butch's right-hand man engineer, he has a little place too where we'll do like guitars and keys and bass and things like that. But then you can also do lots of stuff just at Butch's house, like vocals and stuff like that. And we prefer like doing that.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of demoing there. And next thing you know, we were like in Billy's studio and booking things, and a record was coming. And we were just like, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a song I want to talk about. There's a song that Nikki does on the, that was a single, Alone on a Hill. Tell me about Alone on a Hill, because that was, I believe, the first single that you were the lead solo vocals.
Yeah, no,
it was Katie and sort of a duet.
Katie and, Brian's always encouraging me to sing more.
Okay.
And Butch has always been a nice... You know, it's nice because I'm not forthcoming.
Okay. So were you nervous about...
Yeah, no, but because we're at Butch's house... Nervous.
Right.
I'm always nervous.
Yeah.
But because we're at Butch's house, it became very natural. I'm calling because... And he'll do, you know, as many takes as it takes. And he's always so patient. And so it's Brian and the band and supportive. So it was nice to... be able to take a lead vocal.
Yeah, you just don't want to hear yourself. Like, there's just some things, it's like, that's not right for me to do it. Sing it.
Okay. It's got to be Nikki. Butch has so many amazing mics. Like, everything he has is, like, we're so fortunate that we get to, like, work with the best, you know?
Technically, yeah. But just, like, in the creative,
yeah.
For some reason, it just doesn't make sense for me to sing those songs. Like, there's just songs that pop out to me that are just, like...
It's not for my voice.
So. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I get tired of it, and I just like a lot more, I don't know, variety in our songs, like just having more open, and Nikki is willing to do all those songs, so it's like great.
But you go also do it. Like the Dream at Tempo series, like there was one that I was going to sing and you ended up singing.
You did sing it.
You sang the guide vocal, and then we're like, your guide vocal was so much better than anything I could do.
Because of the way we changed it, and I just did a guide vocal, but then the guide vocal ended up being so cool.
Because then it ended up being like a yin like, yang to the
Butch is like
whole series.
There's a vibe, but then I was like, I know, I asked you, can I just do that one?
Yeah, I'm so happy.
Because it was like, I wouldn't even know how to replicate it. I just did it so quietly, and it just worked.
Right.
Yeah.
What song was that one for?
It's just that we have these little Dream at Tempos spread throughout the record.
Okay, yeah.
And this one's called Dream at Tempo. There's Dream at Tempo 050, right?
Yeah.
Dream at Tempo 310. Yeah. No. 310. Dream at Tempo 310. Well, there's a number code thing that I'll never tell anybody what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Brian did the last one, which was like...
You know what?
So much more dramatic than I could have.
I'll tell you. It's just my son's birthday.
Yeah. I know. 31.
May 31st, 2015.
Cool. So what about when it's performing? Is that now one of your favorites to perform?
We used to do the Dream.
No, Alone on a Hill, I meant. Alone on a Hill,
It's a nice break.
For me.
Yeah.
Well, because we, up to that point, like, we have kind of a really...
It's intense beginning.
Okay. So that does feel like a nice break.
A little break in the...
Okay. Oh my God, I just walk over to the side and it just gives me a second.
And for Christopher too.
All of us,
So you guys come out strong on the start of the set.
I would say so.
It's always... I always think that's a great way to... I brought... One of my buddies is a bit of an introvert and he likes music and stuff, but he won't go to a lot of shows and stuff unless you bring him.
Yeah, I get it.
I took him to his first Foo Fighters show.
Oh, cool.
And it was like, I've never seen him so alive because it was like, it was the first time he'd seen them and they opened. It was like, they opened with Everlong.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
non-stop.
Like, it was just like hit after hit, the first five songs, and he was like, what?
They played for hours.
Yeah, like
too.
2.5-3 hours.
They have a lot of hits, man.
And it was when he had broken his leg, too. And it was like in the throne, but it was still
like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, how are they pumping out more energy?
Girls
got crippled then.
I mean, Taylor had the energy too.
Yeah. Of course. You guys have played with
Yeah.
The food, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
do you have, it's been actually a thing on this show to tell a Dave Grohl story. So do you guys have a Dave Grohl story?
Dave Grohl is such a nice person and he has such an amazing memory. And we've only been around him here. We have a lot of, obviously, friends that know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to claim that we know him very well, but we are close with the same people.
Yeah.
When we have come into contact with Dave, he's so nice. He does this thing, and it might be on purpose, because he's so famous.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black does this too. That he diffuses it so fast. When he comes right into your room,
mm-hmm.
and you're with all your people, and he just starts talking to you and people and like intimately, like talking, showing pictures of this, that everyone just immediately gets
comes
the,
down
it.
On,
just,
yeah.
They just start talking to a human. Jack Black's yeah. kind of like that. He's just like talking and he's so nice, and it just goes away. Yeah. He just diffuses it.
Yeah.
Taylor That's too. Cool. Taylor was always just so
I've
fun.
I've heard Dave likes to like cook barbecue for everybody too.
Yeah, our friend Allie is yeah. his tech. That we've known him for a long time and he yeah. was like learning about barbecues, and then he had to make pinball machines and stuff. Dave's always got some new thing yeah. he is. But he's so nice, and his memory is amazing.
Okay.
So if we were like, we met him a couple of times, and then we're walking in Lollapalooza, and he sees us walking by, he goes, hey, what's yeah. going on? And then he invited us to like the first Crooked Vultures show. Like,
oh,
like
yeah, yeah.
It's like a thing that we really find important, and it's always shocking to me, and it doesn't happen very often, because mm-hmm. I feel like maybe the people that we're around are always generally good, nice people.
Mm-hmm.
It's shocking when it's not that kind of mm-hmm. environment. And it mm-hmm. goes from like, you can see mm-hmm. the whole thing. And Foo Fighters are a good example of look how big you can be and still
and
have
still
to
be humble.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
It is completely.
Yeah.
You have to work to be a jerk, I think.
Yeah. Some people ask me, like, have you ever met anyone? I was like,
Not really.
Like,
no.
if they're agreeing to do an interview for one, it's yeah. like, right. typically they're...
Same with us. Like, if yeah, you're already like, kind of, like, swimming in our world,
I remember,
in general, it's like... Yeah. But once in a while, you meet a little
It's always
little
the,
creeper.
The ones that are always the shocker to me is, like the heavy metal bands. They're always, like, the scarier the look,
the
usually
nicer,
the...
Oh, hands down.
Teddy bear. Sure.
Hot, nicest high. People yeah. ever. Metalheads are so
second
nice.
Second interview I ever did was with David Draymond from Disturbed.
Oh, yeah.
The guy,
oh,
the
yeah.
bald guy
yeah.
with the chimmering.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was a little bit nervous at first. Uh-huh. I was like 22 years yeah. old and I was yeah. just starting. He was doing a side project. That's how I was able to get the interview
cool.
at the time. And I was like, what if he's not in a good mood that day? Like, what if I say something he doesn't like? Anyways. And the guy was like, same thing. Like, right away. And like I said, I was so green. And I walked in mm-hmm. like... instantly
yeah
he was like a, just a big teddy bear
yeah of course yeah. I mean yeah
yeah
you know it's like look what we do for a living
yeah
we get exactly. a lot of things out
mm-hmm.
you know
absolutely so you guys have been touring this album now for like at least a year it looks
mm-hmm.
like
this has
and
been the heaviest touring
to
of it.
May or something like that
yes this year will be the heaviest of this touring
yeah so what's the plan after that
like don't know yet
take the summer off we'll mm-hmm. learn break Is there more music cooking
know.
There or?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's always music cooking. There's definitely music cooking, but I don't know when that would, I'm not sure when ready for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if it works out, if we have a little time and yeah, I kind of don't want to plan things too much.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're gonna see. We've also been talking about, you know, the anniversary of Carnivus coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Yes,
things
like
that.
Potentially,
like
that, actually,
we haven't
yeah.
done anything yet, but that's in our minds as something.
Yeah,
there's
the
like
thoughts. Like once you start down that road, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like then you start, then there's Swoon, and then
right,
which I think could be really.
But
fun.
Carnivus was the first one, you know.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. that album, like
we're going to do that one.
It took off. Like I mean,
I would love
for,
to do that.
Yeah,
one.
We are. It would be good for us to play those songs better live than we would then.
Yeah,
and get people now all these years get people a chance to see him
yeah.
live and honestly probably better
than I read an interesting fact about Carnivus recently that was like Lazy Eye was one of, I think, only a dozen songs that was both in Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like maybe it was a certain iteration of it. Maybe, don't quote me.
No,
because maybe with the downloadable stuff.
It was on all of it. But it was wild.
It was one of 12 songs or something.
That answers my question because I can never remember which one it was
in.
Because it was in both.
It was in both. It was like maybe a specific version of them.
I always found that so interesting, like thinking about Lazy Eye and like writing that song and just like, how kind of simple it is, and that would be in a rock, like a guitar, a guitar puzzle game.
Yeah,
I'm like, this has got to be easy.
It's a lot harder to play on Rock Band.
Easy
than it is to
if you put
play.
It on, did
yeah.
it like a
yeah. If you're
it,
playing it on
Stream or whatever,
if you're playing it on Rock Band, that's it's harder than just doing it in real life.
That's funny. Yeah.
No,
that's
I'm
funny.
Just kidding.
That those games had so much influence in like
a
5 year period,
certain generation
whatever,
there
is like.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you were on Rock Band, it was like you
were. We were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still. Awkwafina, remember? Mm-hmm. She was, when we met her randomly, she was just like, I used to play you on Rock Band.
Yeah. If you're in a certain age group,
Yeah.
And
then,
that was.
Then
like,
it kind of went away. I wonder if what the comeback of that will be.
Yeah, it's
just like everything, it got
that,
bloated.
Like, Rock Smith.
It got bloated and crazy,
yeah,
and then everybody had their own. Beatles, that's cool.
Now
and
it's got like a little bit of a comeback.
I
like,
feel like
it's
going to come back in a
niche
way.
Yeah, you're right. I was in the perfect. I was in university, like when it came, when those came out, and that was because it was like all college
it's
parties
so fun.
Were rock
social.
Guitar Hero.
They're social and fun.
Exactly.
They had the vocal one too.
Yeah.
It was like the pitch.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah.
I did really bad on that one when I was singing Duran
yeah.
Duran because
I only wanted
to do
Hungry
the
like
harmonies
a wolf or something.
Though because I only sing like when I'm singing along
well,
the car. So I was like, why am I not doing well?
But also,
and
it's not
like,
a perfect.
I wasn't singing the lead part. I was singing like
if you know how to play music or a singer and that stuff, it's harder.
Yeah,
because you're kind of getting in the pocket. You're doing all these things and those games are so rigid.
Yeah.
Right.
That,
as they have to be. That's what it is.
Totally. Yeah. It's like you can lose.
Yeah. The vocal parts are the only parts I'm really not good at.
God, it's hard. No, it's hard.
Yeah. I do like it. Like, I play the drums.
Cool.
And so a lot of times I'm like, the drumming feels very authentic, you know.
Yeah,
like it's
that's
written.
True.
Right.
Yeah. You're right, it does.
The drumming, especially
the drumming,
anything
is
the most authentic.
Honestly, the drums was my favorite part
the
of
drums
it.
Because you actually
drums.
Have drums and you're
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh my god,
yeah.
I loved. Now that you're bringing this back, there was a small window in our house with Rock Band with our friends coming over and stuff, and the drums were so fun.
Yeah, the drums were the best part, and there'd be even like sometimes like I played a song on the drums and then I played a Rock Band. I was like, oh, that little bit is actually different from how I was playing it. And so I was like, you learn a little bit.
You know,
it too,
it's the video games are teaching us.
That's it. There you go. That's all our parent. Like, I mean, these like esports now make more money than athletes. Like,
oh yeah.
It's
oh,
crazy.
Hands down.
It's crazy.
Like, yeah. John Madden football.
Right.
Yeah.
His name
like
on that
stadium.
Is,
they fill stadiums with people.
His
watching.
Name is bigger on that.
On
Tony
that.
Hawk. Who's skating.
Tony
you
Hawk,
know, it's like brilliant.
Also, what I wanted to mention on Carnivas, you guys posted something really interesting recently. You posted a video, a music video. What is it? Little Love
we
is
did?
So Polite.
Oh,
yeah.
So, yeah.
That I had no idea was directed by
Joaquin.
Joaquin
yeah.
yeah.
So
I love
nice.
Joaquin. I love that video. That's his nephew in there?
His nephew.
Okay. Tell me about that whole, like how that all came, because you guys were pretty fresh on the scene then.
Mm-hmm. We were... He was just wanting, at a moment where he wanted to do videos. He
wanted to do music videos.
And he just got a call that he wanted to do,
So was he a fan? And
I don't know if he was.
Okay.
He was at the moment.
Yeah.
Like at least, I loved him.
It was really nice.
Okay.
It was so fun. This is pretty close off of, I think he just said Walk the Line.
Walk the Line.
Stuff like
okay.
that. And I have so much respect for his acting.
Yeah,
and he was honestly a really lovely guy, and he was so jovial, and it was a wild set because we did a secret show somewhere in San Diego, and then drove to downtown LA and started filming around 1 a.m. behind these trucks, and Joaquin was just had energy for days.
Yeah,
and I loved it. And what I love about it, I haven't seen it in so long, but it's like just us. Literally in downtown behind trucks at night with cop cars going, but it was kind of dangerous.
Like,
we're doing spin outs and things, and it was so much fun. And I love that video. And then we've seen him a couple times since, and when he sees us, it's always so fun because he'll just kind of look like, "Wow, what are you doing here?" Like when we did the Spirit Awards.
The Spirit Awards.
And he was like, okay. "What are you?"
We were the housebound. Yeah, for the Spirit
Awards. Like an independent Oscars. And he was tripping out.
He came up to us and was like, "Can I get you something to drink? Can I bring you anything?"
I just loved it. I love that video. I haven't seen it in so long.
And I love that his nephew's
in it. That's cool.
I love his nephew's in it, which I wonder for him if he watches that. His nephew's got to be like so much older now.
Yeah.
I loved Joaquin. Yeah. I always look forward to whenever we bump into each other. Yeah. It's very rare.
What a generational talent that is. Yeah.
Oh, he's just, it was obvious.
That's super cool. Like, I was just like, I didn't know Joaquin Phoenix directed music videos.
He didn't just at that time.
He's done it.
Yeah, he did something he was into. He did a She Wants Revenge song, I think.
Okay.
It was at a moment where that's what he was chesting out.
That's what he wanted to do.
You know, and I think after us, he was like, I don't want to do it anymore. But he did a great job. I love it.
Okay. Tell me also about, right now you guys have some music that's featured in the Lincoln Lawyer Netflix series.
Oh, yeah.
How did that all come about? And why there was one that's a cover, Joe Jackson.
Both of them.
Are a cover, okay. Mm-hmm. So one's Joe Jackson's I'm the Man. What's the other one?
Yoko Ono, Move On Fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why?
Honestly, it's a stunner of a song.
Were you asked to cover those songs?
Yes.
Okay.
So we got approached from the show.
Okay.
And for some reason or another, they were very interested in having us do.
Yeah, the showrunner's a huge music fan.
Yes,
like, knows so much. Like, everything.
Showrunner's really cool. Yeah. These people were really fun to be with.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they specifically wanted us to do "I'm the Man."
Yeah.
And so there's parameters involved. Like, don't change it too much because we like the vibe of it, but we want it to be you. And honestly, that would have been something we would not have done. But
right.
There's something over the years and just like working with Butch and just like there's some things that pop up where I just want to try to do it.
Okay.
Like, okay, that sounds like something uncomfortable. Let's try it.
Yeah.
And Butch is always ready.
Okay.
Like if we call him up, he'll be like, let's go record right now.
Yeah.
So we have access to do it. And that one we did live drums at his house.
Okay.
We did "I'm the Man" really fast. We figured it out. We learned all the stuff. Came out so wonderful.
Yeah.
That Lincoln Lawyer's people were just like, can you do another one?
Yeah.
And we said, sure. And they gave us the Yoko Ono song, which is a little more challenging. And then they came to hang out.
Okay.
And so they all came over to Butch's house while we were all doing it.
Okay. Was that easier? Tougher?
Yeah. No, I love easier. It. Okay. Again, like,
I would have thought maybe more, you know.
No, I like, I
the boss is watching, you know.
I like, no, there's no boss, you know. It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
We're doing this for you.
True.
I like to try and have the things that most people find uncomfortable. I like to try to have them happen so you get more comfortable.
Yeah.
So like we try to have friends and people like walking around while I do vocal takes and stuff just to get through all that.
Yeah.
It's just more helpful.
Yeah.
Also, you're just different when someone else is in the room.
Right.
You're better at it. And they hung out and it was just really jovial and fun and they loved that one too.
Awesome.
And then they asked us to do the writer's strike. So we went down. Nikki and I went down to the writer's strike and played some of those songs for the big strike that was happening in America.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
SAG and the Writers Guild was huge in LA where we're from.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was out of work.
Yeah.
You know, which means then.
Well, everything's interconnected. It's all related.
So right. All the things are not falling apart.
What was LA like at that time?
I mean,
that's obviously
half of it. I mean, like, there's more than just that, but there's a whole industry sort of based on even like catering.
So like, it's just really catering.
It's like a tourism industry,
makeup,
you know?
Like,
yeah, all
like,
of
like half my family's from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the tourism industry is just huge there for however you feel about it. It just is.
Yeah.
And so when COVID happened, there was no tourism. Mm. That made people happy in a lot of ways, but there was zero business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched the show, but I've seen I'm a fan of the movie, so I imagine the show is in a similar tone.
I still haven't seen it, but I want to see it.
The show or
the show?
You've seen it?
Yeah. So happy we were part of it.
It's just one of those fun things that we did.
And "I'm the Man's" one of the hardest bass lines I've ever had to record.
Oh, really?
It's so difficult.
Okay.
And when you listen to it, surface level, you're like, no problem. And when you do it, you're like, oh my god, this guy's a genius.
What makes it so difficult?
No, the bass is ripping.
It's so fast.
It's so fast.
Intricate. It's so much going on.
The bass is intricate. I will say this. Nikki and I went to Madison, Wisconsin a couple months ago to do this benefit called Joy Song. It's an epilepsy sort of benefit involving all these people from Wisconsin that Butch knows.
Okay.
We got involved in it, so we flew over there, and there's all these musicians that have come together, and we all cover songs and things like that at this place. And we, when we were doing I'm the Man, Nikki was playing bass and I was playing guitar, and the Cheap Trick drummer, he was playing the drums, and he played so fast that I was just looking over at Nikki, and Nikki is like,
"Well, you warned me.
I warned you. I was like,
gonna go
fast. Well, he got fast in rehearsal, and I was like, when we're on stage, he's gonna go faster." And you, like, created a show moment where everyone was just turning at you. You were like, well, you were just determined. You're hitting all those notes, and then at one point, you're like, "Do do 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 do," and everyone just erupted, like, whoa! I couldn't believe it.
You should have set it on fire.
It was so fast, and you were,
I was like, maybe I shouldn't do all downstrokes.
No, I thought.
I was in it.
I saw your hand. Your hand was downstroking, and I was just like, here's my monologue. I was like this. She ain't changed that. I was like, that's going to mess her up if she starts doing that. She's like, she's committed to this. This is a carpal tunnel. That was so fun.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And I've kept you guys a bit longer than I was going to.
Whatever.
But one story I want to wrap this up on, because it's a really cool thing I read about you guys too, is that the two of you guys met on an airplane.
Yeah.
Tell me about, what do you guys remember about that day?
So it was a study abroad program that I was in this one college, and she was in another college in down Orange County, which is like a whole other area under, like just a whole different universe, but it's smashed up against Los Angeles, right? And so we were going on the same study abroad, going to Cambridge, England for a couple months, like Europe, and like to have some classes at this one Cambridge teacher. Anyway, just like a way to get to Europe for cheap.
Yeah.
And she was on the plane, and she was taking bottles of
alcohol
because we weren't of age.
So I see her little hand going from the cart.
So I look back and I just saw his hand.
And you said, I gotta be friends.
I was just like, well, I gotta be friends. I said, now that's something you don't see every day. Like, you know, you never know what people are gonna be like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think several people from that program we're still friends with. Like, it was pretty meaningful to us.
That was that was a life changing trip.
Of course, it's
honestly, in fact, it's, we're coming up on a big, then we became roommates, and that's how this happened.
Wow. That's unbelievable. That's one of those, like, you know, had you not been in that place at the right time,
I guess,
would Silver Sun have even been
maybe
a band?
Maybe
were either of you in bands before then?
No.
Were you musicians?
I mean,
so
I played guitar a lot, but I didn't think it was something to do. I just enjoyed doing it.
So did it start with the two of you saying, should we make a band?
That was years later, though.
I was playing bass in a friend's band, and Nikki was playing in another band. It was actually Christopher, our drummer's band. And Nikki kept egging me on in the kitchen because I was just having fun playing bass, but it was almost like becoming more work, and I wasn't as interested in it.
Okay.
I could hear him playing guitar in the house, which is his passion.
And Nikki was like, just stop that.
Yeah.
This happened honestly a lot at night in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that. Do your own thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll be playing with you. Mm. And that's what she kept saying. And then so eventually I just quit, and then we started Silver Sun.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you are, here we are.
20 years later. We're still in Toronto at this amazing place.
Yeah. This is a good venue. I do like it's.
It's new. Usually in Toronto, we're all the way on that one, like
Rebel, the one.
It's way Rebel, across over there. There's like nothing over there.
It's kind of a.
I miss
like,
my. I miss
Lee's
Palace.
Venue, but it's just in such a bad spot.
It's not a bad venue. It's just way out in the middle of nowhere.
Bad spot.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to your
Phoenix and Lee's Palace, all that stuff. I love that stuff.
Danforth.
Woo!
Danforth is a great spot. But this is great.
I'm honestly
so put money into there. This place, so it was cool.
Well, let's not hold that against him.
This is
an astonishing place.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
We walked in and we're like, oh my god!
And the good thing is it took a lot of shows from Rebel. So Rebel's mostly like
dance, probably.
Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dance.
Listen,
the only problem I have with Rebel, as far as the actual venue itself, is that it's long and narrow.
Yeah, yep.
So it has a huge capacity limit because it can fit all the people that could fit in the bar. Yeah.
That is,
but nobody's in the bar for the show. Everyone's crammed.
I would say I totally know what you're saying. It's designed very strange.
It is designed strange. Whereas here, like, it was the same. We used to have this venue called the Cool House.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't know about that one.
So it doesn't exist. It's a condo now.
Does Phoenix still exist?
Phoenix still exists. I was just there for Cold War Kids the other.
Yeah. I love the Phoenix.
Phoenix is like old school vibe.
I love Lee's Palace.
Lee's Palace is really that. Now you're you guys know you're Toronto,
dude.
Lee's Palace is tiny. Like,
you know, we have all, and
it felt big when we were.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
We have one Toronto in joke, and I'll tell you,
because there's always it changes, but there's always like a. There's like, now it's like a curry kitchen right at the front of the before it was like a burrito
pizza,
place.
Pizza.
We
always, I've never said this, and only a few people have caught on to this. You have to like really pay attention. But since 2010, every single time we've played Toronto, every single time when I thank the opening bands, I always thank Sex Bomb. From Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the time. Every time I go, and also thanks Sex Bomb. And once in a while, some people who come to those shows, they're like, are you going to thank Sex Bomb again? Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tonight. I never picked up on
that. I'm be like, hello,
that,
Mary.
Yeah, and then do it.
I did it in Virgin.
I'll cheer.
Yeah, I'll cheer.
I'll be like, Sex Bomb! Because I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's a Toronto rock and roll movie.
Yeah.
And they shoot at those places, all like Lee's Palace. I love it.
A lot of it's all filmed in
Theaters. Like when we first started going to Toronto playing shows and then that movie came out, we're like, oh my God, this is like a Toronto rock movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That's such a cool film.
It's a masterpiece.
Too. Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
I heard they're supposed to make another.
What?
Yeah.
I know they did an anime.
Yeah. And there was rumors that they were going to do another.
God.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Cera doesn't even look any older, so.
No. Yeah. Dude, Michael Cera and Barbie was. Yes.
See, Michael Cera and Barbie's
parts.
It was just so thrilling to see him.
It's perfect, perfectly cast. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. Oh, man. What was his name in it again?
Oh, Alan. I'm Alan.
Funny, so my wife.
And when
always,
he like whips, he just starts kicking butt all of a sudden. He's
My wife always teases me because during the pandemic, I got bored and did a bunch of things. I painted a mural on my kitchen wall.
Wow, cool.
I bleached my hair because I was just like, why not, right?
I haven't done that in a long
and
time.
I bleached my hair at like I was like 32 or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Bleached my hair. I was like, no, I'm not gonna see anybody.
Who
so
cares?
Right now is the time. Yeah.
Yo, I got.
I have this puffy like this. Spring jacket that's like a furry jacket everywhere.
Love it.
And I do wear bandanas all the time, especially around the house. And when we saw that movie for the first time, she's like, Adam, you are Ken. You are like the hierarchy Ken or whatever.
Yeah, you're
like, that is you.
Mojo, anyway, Dojo, Casa.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. And then the funny thing was one of her friends went to see it and her husband. And she goes, did Colin give you Ken vibes at all? And she's like, no, he relates more to Alan.
That's actually a very nice compliment.
It is actually a compliment, but I was like, ugh, no.
I think we're all little Alans.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's probably not something I should brag about.
I would own it.
I was like, I did it first. I did the look first.
I love that. Are you going to interview Sex Bomb tonight?
That would be.
Are they coming in? Are they coming in early? They might just show up really late.
They might, yeah.
Yeah. They show up. They're in and out. The drummer is wild card. She's insane.
Yeah, that would be. I love that reference. I love it. I hope you guys do throw that out there tonight.
Of course.
I will give a super loud cheer.
There's no way I'm not. And I'll never speak of it again.
That's nice.
This is the only time you're going to hear me say that.
I love it. I love it. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, thank
you. This was really cool. This was really, I really enjoyed this.
I appreciate it.
Our first interview was so quick and like,
I know, I hate those.
Timed.
I don't like those.
So this was nice that we got to chill and talk about everything.
I'm not happy about time ones, but they are what they are.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, don't be a stranger,
Awesome, awesome. Thank you.
Adamantium.
Thank you for tuning in to the Adamantium podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd absolutely love for you to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. I'd also love to see you on social media. You can follow on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on Twitter at Adam R. Harrison. Thank you again so much for listening.